And it's time to bring in the quarterback, Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, after we look, it kind of two ways we look at this thing. We look in the aftermath of the loss to the Ravens as another opportunity slipping through the Browns' hands, seemingly, and then going into the bye to reflect on it and reflect on what got the Browns to 2-7. But let's start with the Ravens game itself. How did it leave you feeling, just in terms of the big picture impact on, you know, all the losses feel lousy, but this one seemed to have particular weight in that regard?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I am, I guess, going to sound like a broken record that the losses are building up. But it's amazing to me in our league how we say this week in and week out that, we're in a spot where we could easily have had, I don't say easily, but had 2, 3, 4 more wins. Mm-hmm. And it's coming down to 2 to 3 plays made a game, sometimes a player or two not made a game where you don't make the mistake or something that adds to a bad play, or the having the superstar play made that turns the field around and gives you 7 points instead of giving them 7 points and having them 10 and 14 point swings. What makes Sunday's game taste in your mouth so feel so bad is because it was there. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see it just a couple plays. The effort level, the intensity, the speed, the hitting, the tackling, the effort that was out there, was impressive to watch. You know, I feel bad for the guys not getting wins. I feel bad for some of the coaches. You know, I've been talking about Coach Shurmur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coaches, somewhat like quarterbacks, are victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. And you get the ball inside, you get 5 field goals from Phil Dawson. Once again, Phil Dawson, amazing, 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 the type of player he is and the consistency in getting us those 15 points yesterday. But, you know, you can't get in the red zone, scoring zone, 5 times like that and not get touchdowns. Mm. But, in turn, you can't trick an NFL defense every time to get the ball in the end zone.
Right.
It comes upon, and I'm not trying to crucify the players, but it comes upon us players at times to make plays and take it upon ourselves that we're going to get the ball in the end zone come hell or high water, and it's unfortunately not really materializing enough right now.
So when that doesn't happen, and we can, there have been some blanket explanations, and maybe you can call them excuses, that have been used. Well, they're just too young. Well, the youth of this team and inexperience of this team bites them at times. But after 9 games, I don't feel, or in the course of a 9th game, I don't feel as good about that. I'm not sure I feel good about that after 4 or 5 games. So when these situations are happening or aren't happening, I begin to then wonder, is it just a pattern of, you know, do you have to rethink what you're doing, how you're doing it? Do you have to? Because if you look at personnel, I think we're still in agreement that the young talent of this team has a future, that there's a core at least. They need other players. I know I'm not saying they've got all the positions addressed that they need addressed, Bernie, but my sense is that something continually kind of backfires on this club to find itself in those positions where field goals that need to be touchdowns are field goals.
Correct. The core solid. I think the youth is solid. You know, probably have too many younger players than you would like. 3 into coach, and again, nothing against Coach Holmgren, but 3 years into his 5-year plan isn't probably the time to go with 15 new young rookies. But their athleticism, their abilities, you could see a lot of athleticism in there. Now, turning that God-given gift of athleticism into playmaking is another level of experience and ability that a couple guys have learned, but but most probably haven't learned it yet. And I think it's imperative that more guys now pick it up and learn that. And you hit it right on the head. The youth, the rookies, the young guys, all of those statements after nine games need to completely go out the window, because it's now about results. And, you know, we talk on the air a fair amount. We talk off the air a lot about the ability of guys in this in the business of football, how blessed we are, that you just have to figure out a way to be productive and make plays and contribute to help your team. And we said earlier in the year that, you know, maybe the ownership change in August was something that was a problem, little distraction, that type thing. I actually think now, given the situation, given this time of the year, given the bye week, given, what do we got, seven more games to go?
Right.
That it's actually a huge positive right now, because everybody knows they're being evaluated right now. And the guys who keep the effort up, the guys who keep growing, the guys who start making plays, the guys who start making plays consistently are the guys that are going to be here. And it's a well-known fact. And for the young guys that are listening, you get released from a team that's 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, okay, and you get released from those teams, start looking for another career, because they're not lining up to sign you, other teams.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he usually does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, some of the decisions that were made in this game, not only we talk about coaching decisions, but also quarterbacking decisions, and I want to focus more on the quarterbacking decisions with you. With Brandon Whedon, did not come off his best game in this one, didn't play particularly well against the Chargers. We could say weather had something to do with that, but that also can't be an excuse. I believe you were known to have played in your share of some bad weather games, and you have to master and overcome that. It's part of being a Cleveland Brown. With his choices on throws, with some of what he did where the ball, he was intercepted twice, but where he could have had even some other turnovers that were close. What do you see in Whedon now, nine games into his rookie season?
Well, I like his pocket awareness, his pocket presence, is a way to kind of get himself around, not taking the unneeded, unnecessary sack, kind of feeling the pressure around him. I like the way he's his arm strength, the way he's throwing the ball down the field, those types of things. I think if you got one thing, and I think he'd agree with this too, he'd really, really, and it's imperative that you start really understanding the concepts of the plays and having the freedom and the ability to understand getting through your reads, getting to your reads, getting off of certain guys a shade quicker, so that you're getting from 1, 2, 3 to the fourth in 2.5 seconds instead of 2.9 seconds or 3.2 seconds. And that 3/10, 4/10, 5/10, 6/10 of a second may not seem like that big a deal, makes all the difference in the world. And being able to trust your reads, understand them, get them in your pre-read, define them by your first step or two away from center, and then just a shade more quickly, a couple tenths more quickly, understand your reads, get off of 1 and 2 a little quicker, so you're at read 3 and 4 in a more timely, efficient manner.
Can you get to that in year one? I mean, can he, with the remaining games on the schedule, is there you know, time to what you're discussing? Is that something that, how long does that generally take? I guess it's different for different quarterbacks, but you're pointing out something that sounds pretty deep and complex in terms of a quarterback making those decisions instinctively. How long does it take to get to that point?
Good question. Can he get to it perfectly in year one? No. Can he get extremely better at it over the next 7 games and bye week, 8 weeks? Absolutely. And I really feel he's going to, because his effort and commitment to doing this is definitely there. So is he going to be doing this perfectly by the end of the year? Probably not. Will he be significantly better at this 1 year from today? Absolutely. But he could do and make strides towards this over the next few weeks, most definitely.
And the other thing about this game, you know, when we look at the opportunities that were there to run the football, and Trent Richardson, for the second game in a row, has 100-plus yards, had a really strong per-yard average in that game. I mean, he was averaging 4.2 per carry, and it was a Ravens team that was ripe to run on. As you look at Trent and how he's evolved, and he's playing with the damaged ribs and so forth, I do see a catalyst player, and I guess I'm curious to see how his role will evolve, especially in a scheme that is essentially a pass to set up the run scheme.
Yeah, and I actually see him evolving, and I also see the system evolving, and how the system evolves and how he stays healthy and continues to progress, I think is imperative. And you can see the effort is definitely there, and the desire to do this is definitely there, and to learn. And things you do in college, where sometimes you could outrace people, you could kind of feel your way through the hole. Maybe you don't have to take the first hole. You could feel your way and take the second hole. You could see starting to learn that don't work here. Hmm. Okay, you need to take that first hole you see, that first crack you see, and bury yourself up into it. And I think that as he gets more accustomed to that and that mindset, we're going to see an even better Trent Richardson.
Bye week, a time to reflect, to think about what you've done and how, and when you're 2-7, how you can do it better. And I think you would think that if you were 9-0 at this point. But so priorities as they go into this, one of the things that Pat Shurmur has talked about is improving the communication system, which he said was a problem on Sunday. He mentioned it after the game, and he referenced on Monday the need to streamline it a bit. You do have a lot of people, or I say a lot of people, you have more than one person involved with, obviously, with Brad Childress as offensive coordinator, in addition to Pat Shurmur, the play caller, and then, you know, other, the coaching staff change, personnel being changed quite a bit. There's quite a bit of personnel substitution in this system. You being someone who's quite familiar with the communication between sideline and quarterback with the plays and so forth, how would you address this, or how do you think it should be addressed, and based on some of the experiences you've had?
Well, first and foremost, with the computers today, it makes analyzing the statistical data of what is successful and what isn't successful significantly easier than it was years ago. So from a computer standpoint, I know what we're doing right now is breaking down everything as to where the best plays have been, where they're run, at what points of the field, what are the best protections, what are the least successful plays, the worst protections, best routes, worst routes, and vice versa on defense. You kind of aggregate all of those, that statistical stuff, and then you try to, and this sounds incredibly simplistic, but aggregate it, see where you're doing good at, see where you should be doing good at, and then try to kind of condense it down and work just on the things that you got, so you know, hey, this is my core. This is come, hey, in tough times, in rough times, in confusing times, this is what I know I could resort to. Mm-hmm. And then you add a little bit around it. So if you're feeling good, if you're feeling hot, if you're feeling like you got some things going, you could kind of get outside that box. But you condense it down to your core that has showed up statistically that it's doing good. And you really drive that home. And you drive it home, and you get it, and you get them to understand that they could do it, and you believe they could do it. And when it's 4th-and-1, or 4th-and-2 like it was on the 28-yard line. I know Coach Shurmur's taking some flack for it, but, wow, that's showing some trust that he thinks those guys could do that play. And they got to know as players, God, that guy's putting himself on a limb out for us, and I need to do something to make him look good because he trusts me to go do that.
Bernie, great stuff, and we will catch up with you again next week, my friend.
You got it.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.